So today, this message is called Fighting the Good Fight, right? And it's from 1 Timothy. You don't have to go there with me. It's just going to be one verse. But 1 Timothy 1:18, when Paul says to Timothy, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Yeah. Or some versions say, "Fight the good fight," right? So Paul says, "This charge I commit to you, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." And so we have no idea what these prophecies are that Timothy has. All we know is that Paul is saying, use them. Remember them as you press forward. And in this time, Timothy's leading the church in Ephesus and having an awesome time, right? He's really young and he's leading this church, okay? But Joshua 14 is where we're going to spend most of our time. I'm good, babe. Thanks. I feel like I should say for the recording that the pianist is my husband, and that's why I called him babe. Sometimes I listen to it afterwards, and I realize, ooh, that's really awkward. You know, because from the recording, you have no idea that we are married. So all of you listening who have no idea who I am, I'm allowed to call him that. Okay, Joshua 14, I'm going to start in verse 6. So the point I was going to say before I got distracted by that was that with my kids, and some of you guys have heard this before, is we have a bedtime routine that we've been doing since Zoe was, I don't know, close to a year old. Before that, we were kind of haphazard with it, but by the time she was around a year, we had solidified our bedtime routine, which was that we sing a worship song together. We read two chapters in our Bible, and then we pray. And now that we have more than one child, we pray youngest to oldest. And now that we have children who read, they also help read those two chapters. Before that, it was just me and Ron or the babysitters. We have hard copy Bibles from when they were younger that have initials in it all through the Bible, because we would have whoever was there write in their initials. And so at this point, we've read the whole Bible through like 7 times, you know, in our family, because 2 chapters gets you through it in like a year and a half. Now we do skip portions. There's a few portions that we just hop through. It was easier when they couldn't read and they didn't know that I was skipping like a paragraph here or there or switching the words around a little bit. So we do skip, but we do read the bulk of the Bible together. And so we're in Joshua right now. And actually, earlier this week, we read this scripture, and Ron went, ooh, you know, and we just started talking about it. And I said, dibs, I was preaching next, so I got it. I said, oh, I'm taking that. So it's fun when you're in community and family with people who love the Lord and love the Word, because you get to do fun stuff like that. So verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God." Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Okay. So here we have the Israelites leave Egypt, right? They're following the Lord. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. The Lord leads them to the edge of the promised land, the land that he promised Abraham and their patriarchs. They're right there on the edge. He's like, go and take it. And so they send out 12 spies into the land, one from each of the tribes. Okay, 12 spies. And they go into the land, and he says, go, see, like, spy out the land, bring back some stuff so we can see how well it's going to provide for us. Do this, and then we'll make a plan, and we'll go, and we'll take it. So the 12 of them go. Joshua and Caleb are part of the 12 that go. And the 12 come back. And Joshua and Caleb are like, the land that the Lord has given us is awesome. They brought back these grapes that they have on the, like, long pillar between them. You know, this massive clump of grapes. They're like, it is amazing. We will go and take it. The Lord will be with us. And the other 10 spies are like, hold up. Hold up. Just wait a minute. There are giants up in there. Okay, yeah, they're right. The land is fertile. Yes, grapes are huge. Awesome, 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 awesome. But we're going to get killed. If we go in there, we're going to get killed. And they make the whole rest of their people fear. And Joshua and Caleb are like, yes, true. They're big. They're huge. And the other spies are like, yes, so big that we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they're like, true, true, true. But the Lord, did not the Lord say that he would be with us? The time is now. Let's go. Let's take it. Yes, they're big. Our God is bigger. Let's go. But all the people tremble. They turn their back on the word of the Lord and they say, we're not going. And God goes, then you will wander. If you're not going to go, then you don't got to go. So I'll just wait till you're all gone and I'll take the next people. Right? And he says, Joshua and Caleb, because you believed, you won't have to suffer this fate. So now we're 45 years later. We're 45 years later. Caleb and Joshua are the only ones alive from that generation. Yeah. Like, sometimes we don't realize that point. We don't really think about that point, which is that God said everyone else who was an adult at that time was not going to be able to come into the promised land. So Joshua and Caleb are what's left. There's still a whole nation of people, but Joshua and Caleb are the only ones who are adults at this time who are still around. And now they're on the edge of the promised land again. They're going into the promised land again, full of faith this time. And they're deciding who's going to go where. And Caleb comes back to this point of what was promised him. So there's four things I want us to walk through in this progression of this scripture about Caleb's promise. And the first point is that he remembered.
Yeah.
He remembered what the Lord had spoken to him. And this wasn't just like a, hey, didn't God say something like, no, he quotes exactly what Moses said. He says exactly what Moses said. He says, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, right? Moses swore on that day, this is verse 9. So Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So he remembers. That's the very first point. He remembers the word. He remembers the word. There's the parable of the sower that Jesus told, right? Where the person sows the seed and some falls and the birds pick it up, right? Scattered and the birds pick it up. Caleb did not allow his word to be taken. He remembered it and he held fast to it. So then the question is to you, do you remember what the Lord has said? And I'm not just talking about your personal prophecies that you may have received, your encouragement, your edification, your consolation and comfort from the Lord, but even just what's in the scriptures concerning you and your situation. Do you remember? Do you know what the Lord has said? When Mary receives the word from the angel, it says, and Mary, you know, put all these things in her heart and pondered them, right? Are we doing that with what the Lord says? Do we take it? Do we plant it in our heart? Do we hold fast to it? Do we remember? Because the Lord is faithful and true. But if I don't remember what he said, then I lose the chance to build my faith when it happens. Right? Like, that's one of those great things about you keep a prayer journal. We take communion as a family, and so we have a prayer journal. And we are realizing as we look through about how many things the Lord has answered. And some of the things are things we don't even remember praying for anymore. But we can look back and go, oh, the Lord answered that. The Lord answered that. And it builds our faith. So just for anything in our life, if you don't even remember the words, yes, they can come to pass. But then you miss out. You don't get your chance to go, oh, Lord, you did it. Because you don't even remember what was said. Right. So Caleb remembers the word. And then the second point is this. He recognized the moment. Right? He recognized the moment he was in. Because he just said he wandered for 45 years. And so he can remember for those whole 45 years, but the conditions weren't met yet for it to happen. So even as he remembers, he's like, well, we're not in the promised land yet. So it's not time yet. But now they're here. And he goes, oh, here we go. This is the time. This is the moment where the Lord can do what he said he would do. He couldn't do it when they were still wandering in the wilderness, not because he wasn't faithful, but just it wasn't the moment. He recognized his moment. And there's a key thing there, because in Proverbs it talks about, you know, letting your gift make room for you. And so many times we talk about, like, don't force your way in, don't shove your way in, don't push. Okay? And so what we have to recognize is there's a difference between saying, it's my time, I'm going to make it happen, which is a selfish and carnal thing to say. It's my time, they're going to see me, here I go, let's do it, I don't care, bam, here I am. Right? Like Emperor's New Groove, he throws in the doors, he's like, boom, baby, right? There's a moment that is not from the Lord, that's what you're saying. This is my moment. This is my time. It is very different to reach a moment in time and go, this is it. This is what the Lord said. Here we go. I've got to step into this because this is the time. Okay. One puts yourself at the center. One says, this is my moment. This is my time. I'm going to make this happen. The other exalts the Lord. It says, this is what he said. This is what he said he was going to do. Everything's lining up. So if I believe the Lord, I step into this. Right? You see how those are different? We should never be trying to shove ourselves forward. But we also should not walk in fear and miss what the Lord says. If he says this is the moment, take the moment. Okay? So Caleb remembers the word, and then he recognizes the moment he's in. He recognizes the moment he's in. And here's the other part about the difference between the this is my moment, this is the time kind of thing. Is Caleb goes to his community. He goes to his leader. Right? He doesn't just go, here's the time, keep running his mind, grab his sword, and like the tribes are going this way, and he just charges off in the distance, one man stand, going off, and everyone's like, where'd Caleb go? What is going on? And he's like in every war movie ever, just like, ah, you know, just charging off into the distance. No, he goes to his community. He goes to his leader, and he says, hey, remember when this happened, and then this was said? This is now. And his community and his leader signs off on it, co-signs on it, and goes, you're right, this is the moment. Take it and go. Take it and go. And that's why it's so important to kind of know who you're aligning yourself with, right? Yeah. Who can speak into your life? Who do you trust with all those promises of the Lord? Who has walked with you and known those things? Right? Ron and I are blessed to have, you know, people who have walked with us for decades, you know, I'll be 37 this year, so like 20 years for me, like 30 years for Ron. You've known Mike since you were like 7, right? What? 11, okay. Well, you're still gonna be 40, so it's like 30 years still. And so where there's people who've seen and heard what the Lord has done. And though we've changed life seasons and though different opportunities and different shifts have happened in ministry and in our vocations, we have people surrounding us, people that we've known for decades, people that we've known for a much shorter time, who look at our circumstances, who look at our season, and who look at the words in our lives, and co-sign. They go, yeah, you're right. This is the moment. Be confident. Go forward. Because without that, you can really screw up your timing. Yeah. Either jumping too fast or holding off too slow. And you don't want to be on either one of those sides. You don't want to go too far too fast. You don't want to drag your feet and go too slow. This keeps coming to mind, so I'm going to tell it, even though it's my husband's story. He will tell you that when he was going to ask me to marry him, that he had the ring for longer than before he asked me. Like, he didn't get the ring and ask me that day. Like, he had it for a little bit. And we kind of had a deadline because we wanted to get married like that fall. And I said I wasn't willing to plan a wedding in less than a certain amount of time. And I wasn't going to start planning a wedding until he had officially asked me. And so it wasn't, he could ask me whenever he wanted. It was just, hey, don't ask me in August and think that we're going to get married in October. Like, it's not going to happen. And so he had the ring, and he went to Mike Peace's office. And he told him, oh, I'm scared, Mike. Like, what if I mess this up? And Mike just laughed at him and told him it was time. Right? And then Ron asked me to marry him, like, that day. Right? Maybe it was like a day later or 2 days later. So sometimes you just need someone to be like, go. Yeah. Do the thing. Don't drag your feet. Yeah. Go forward. All lights are green. Go, 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 go. Okay? Because left to our own devices, we second guess. We second guess a lot. There are so many things where I go, wait, should I? Should I not? And just walking with someone else. Walking with someone else, aligning with someone else, gives me the confidence I need to go forward. Gives me the confidence I need to say yes. So Caleb remembers the word. He recognizes the moment. And he goes to his community. And then he goes up to fight. And this is one of the things I think we miss sometimes when it comes to our prophetic words, our prophetic promises, holding on to the scriptures. Is so many times we think, if it's the Lord, it'll just happen. Like, if it's God, it's just going to be smooth sailing. It's just going to be calm and peaceful, and there's going to be like a red carpet laid out for me, and I'm just going to saunter into the promised land. You know, it's going to be like a victory parade, and that's how I'll know that it's the Lord. I don't know if I was going to say I can count on one hand, and I was like, I don't even know if I have any. Like, I don't even know if I can count on one finger the times when that has been true for prophetic promises in my life. So many times the Lord opens the door for us. The Lord opens the season for us. And it is work. Yeah. It is still work. You know it's the Lord, and it is hard. True? Right? And it is hard. It is hard. Super easy practical thing. Children are a gift from the Lord. Always an amen, period. Children are a gift from the Lord. Something we can always hold true. Even if they come in less than ideal circumstances, whatever, whatever, children are a gift. It is hard to have kids. Like, even just the act of getting them here. Can I get an amen, Jocelyn? Right? Like, even just the act of getting them here is hard. And then they're here. And it's still hard. But they're a gift. So if that's true for this thing, you can see how that extends into everything else. It is work. Even if it is easy, something you're skilled in, something you're gifted in, the energy, the time that you put in, it's still work. Even if you have joy in the work, it's still work. And so we have Caleb in the promised land. It's right there in the name, the promised land. It is everything that the Lord has chosen to give them. Paradise, good, fertile, right? The people who have had no home for years and years and years are now coming into their home. They are coming into their land, into the place that the Lord has ordained for them. And they've got to kill a whole bunch of giants. They are in the promise. They are in the promise, and they have to wage war. They have to wage war to obtain everything that the Lord had given them. Though they crossed over and they're in the promise, they have to fight for the promise. And that's where that verse in Timothy comes to play, where he says, remember the prophecies. Remember the words that were spoken over you. Remember the truth. Hold fast to it. Cling to it. And use it to fuel the fight that is ahead of you. Use it to fuel that which is ahead of you. Frequently, that is why the Lord gives us prophecy. Why he highlights things in the Word to us. Why he, like, while you're reading the Bible, he underscores something and says, this is for you. Right? And you feel it ignite in your heart. Or when someone comes up to you and just says, hey, I feel the Lord saying this to you. I'm not even talking about directional prophecy. I'm just talking about building you up, encouraging you, comfort and consolation. He gives that to us to fuel us to continue to go forward. That word encourage means to put courage into you, right? To help another person stand strong. And when we're talking about in this context, we're helping another person stand strong as they pursue Jesus. That's what encouragement is. I'm putting strength into your heart to help you continue to move forward. And so the Lord gives us those words, those highlights, because the battle is hard. Because the battle is long. Because getting the fullness of our promise is not easy. And because we are weak and because we are frail, we will want to give up. It doesn't mean you're sinful. To think about, do I have to keep going? You have Jesus in the garden, right? Jesus, perfection of humanity in the garden going, Lord, if there's another way, how about we do that? If there's not, I'm going to do this. I said yes to this. It's still yes. But if there's another way, is there? And we know Jesus did not sin. So that question of, is there another way, can't be sinful. Because Jesus asked it. Right? So having a moment where you go to the Lord and go, this is really hard. Do I really have to do this hard thing? Is not sin. It's weakness, it's frailty, it's our humanity. But the question itself is not sin. And so in that moment where we go, Lord, this is really hard. You promised me this. And I know I'm in the right moment for this to happen. But I did not realize that the giants would be so big. I did not realize that there would be so much to confront. I didn't realize it was going to take so stinking long. And in that moment, those words, those highlights from the Lord, are what he gives us to hold on to. They're what he gives us to hold on to. This charge I commit to you, according to the prophecies previously made, that by them you may wage the good warfare. It was Paul's charge to Timothy. And it's our charge tonight. It's what the Lord gives to us. He says, remember the words. Remember the words and use them to fight. You use them to fight. This year, we've talked about it several times at this point, about the new Jewish year that we're in, the new Jewish decade that we're going into, 5780. Pei, meaning the word for 80, and it meaning mouth. And that this is a year and a decade of declaration. Yeah. That we are stepping into a time of speaking. Where speaking is the highlighted thing for the Lord for us. And so you have this example from Caleb that when the moment comes, he doesn't hide what was said to him. He actually speaks it out of his mouth. He says, "This is what the Lord said." And so we're in a season where we need to move from just the pondering, the thinking, the like, churning in our minds over what the Lord had says, and to saying it, and to saying it confidently. This is what the Lord has said concerning me. This is what the Lord has said concerning my house. This is what the Lord has said that he will do. This is the time I am in. This is the fight I am in. This is the land I am going to occupy. A time where we say. And for some of us, that's a hard shift to make. Because when you say it, it's like real. You know, like Ron and I have been talking a lot about, like, okay, where are we going with this thing? And where are we going with that thing? And I write, so it's like, where are you going with your books? Where are you going with that kind of thing? And it's like, I can think in my mind, like, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and have all my dreams and like stuff bubbling away and everything. But a lot of times I'll hesitate to say, right? Or you're making a goal. Maybe you're like trying to lose weight or work out more. And it's like, you kind of just, you don't want to say it. Because the minute you say it, people can hold you accountable to it. Like if you're like, oh, I'm going to the gym 3 times this week. Then like on Saturday, someone's like, oh, so how was your gym? And you're like, oh. So about that, right? You have, when you say it, it is real in a way that it is not when it's just in your mind. And we're in a season where saying is super important. I'm going to borrow from one of the things that we heard when we were at Glory of Zion in Texas. And he walked through Ezekiel 37. The speaker walked through it. And Ezekiel 37 is when Ezekiel is in the Valley of the Dry Bones, right? He's surrounded by dry bones. Okay, so here's the thing. If you see bones, that means all the flesh is gone. Right? Like, if it's just a skeleton, there's no stuff left on it, right? And dry bones makes me think of when they find, like, the dinosaur bones, right? Like, they've been gone a while. So he's in this valley of dry bones, of real, real dead stuff. And the Lord says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel is super smart because he goes, only you know, Lord. Yeah. Like, because I think I probably would have looked and been like, nope. Right? But he says, only you know, Lord. And Ezekiel, and the Lord tells Ezekiel, prophesy. I'm going to flip to this so that I don't mess it up. Ezekiel, there we go. Ezekiel 37. And so the Lord tells him what to say. He says, prophesy, I'm in verse 4. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So the Lord tells him exactly what to say. He goes, you talk to these bones, you call for breath, you call for sinews, you call for flesh, you call for skin. You call for breath and you call for life, right? So he tells him what to say. So Ezekiel, because he's smart, says exactly what the Lord tells him to say. So he says in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So he prophesied exactly what the Lord said. And the Lord worked. But did he get everything that he had said? No, there was no breath. Right? The Lord told him what to ask for, including breath. Ezekiel said exactly what the Lord said, including breath, and he received fulfillment, but not fully. Right? He didn't get the whole thing. The bones came up, they joined together, he got the tendons and stuff, he got the flesh, he got the skin, but they were just standing there. And so the Lord says again, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, said a man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come to the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so many times we stop. We're like, oh, I got like 85 to 90% of what the Lord gave me. Okay, I guess that's everything. Maybe I misheard. Maybe I wasn't supposed to get any breath. I got a lot. I'll be happy with what I got. I mean, that's a miracle. These dry bones, you know? That's a miracle. But the Lord goes, hey, nope. Ask for the rest. You don't have to repeat the part that's already happened, but ask for the rest. Ask for the whole thing. I said I was giving you this. Did you get it all? No. Speak to the part you haven't gotten yet. And so then Ezekiel speaks to the part that was missing. And then it happens. The breath of the Lord comes in, and they come to life. Progression leads to fulfillment. Do not stop if you haven't gotten it fully. If you haven't gotten the whole thing, don't stop. As Caleb's story continues, you see he has to go up. He has to fight. Fights. Then he's like, okay, I've got to fight this other area. Who wants to come up and beat these guys over here? Whoever beats them can marry my daughter, right? So he is waging war. He doesn't just get to say, hey, remember, Moses said this was mine. And then Joshua goes, you're right, Moses said this was yours, it is yours. And then he has to occupy. It's not just one battle. Boom, 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 boom. And we see this in the Israelites in the Promised Land. They fight, and then they get tired, right? They get tired, they stop fighting, they leave some people places that they shouldn't have left them, and then they're plagued by the fact that they did not fully occupy for centuries. They're plagued by the fact that they did not push for the fulfillment of the promise. And that's not on God, that's on them. Because they chose not to keep going. And so Ezekiel could have chosen. He could have said, I got some bodies. Lord, you did good. Done. I mean, but what are you going to do with like 1,000 just bodies just standing there, right? He would not have gotten the fullness of what the Lord had said if he hadn't gone back to the word and kept going. He pressed forward. And so maybe you're just starting your progression with the Lord. You're just realizing that you're in a moment where the Lord is ready to do some stuff. You're standing at the edge of your promised land. Or maybe you're up in the middle of it and you're getting weary. But the point is that you need to declare. Yeah. You need to look at where you are and what the Lord promised. And if they don't match, there's a fight in front of you. If you're here and the Lord promised this, you want to get to what the Lord promised. I mentioned this before, that when I was 16, I had an experience with the Lord in which it was made very clear to me that the bulk of my ministry life would be in Rochester. And I made a commitment at that time that I would never stand before the Lord and have him go, so why didn't you? That 16 years of age, that was the one thing that I was clear on before the Lord, that the bulk of my life and my ministry would be in Rochester. And so 16, I was in high school. And so then I graduated. And, you know, some guys came around and tried to talk to me. This is before Ron. We got married young, so it wasn't that much before Ron, right? And I had a list. People mess with me about this. But I had a list of things that were non-negotiables. And one of the things that was a non-negotiable was they could not be called to someplace that was not Rochester. They didn't have to be called to Rochester, you know, because some people don't know. But they couldn't know that they were supposed to be somewhere else. Because the thing I was not going to do was yoke myself to someone who had a word from the Lord that was incompatible with the word I had from the Lord, and then get to heaven and have God go, "So what was that?" And I go, "Yeah, I didn't do this thing because I had to submit myself to this other thing." Because I knew. I knew. A lot of you know what the Lord has called you to do. It may not be ministry vision. It may not be location. It can be something about you as a mother. It can be something about you as a husband. It can be something about you, who you're supposed to speak to at your job. What you're supposed to do with that bonus check that just came in. A lot of us know what we are supposed to do. And we are scared to say it because of the fight that it means. We're scared to step out because of the fight that it means. We're scared to tell that person at the job that every time you walk by, the Lord's like, "Hey, you should tell them blah, 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 blah. You should ask to pray with them." We're scared to say something to a family member. We're scared to make a radical goal with our finances, even though we know what the Lord has said concerning it. Where he's gone, "Hey, if you go into this, I'll be with you." Because Caleb's like, "Hey, there's the Anakites. They are in a strong and fortified city, but the Lord will be with me, and I will go up to fight." He says it out loud. Mike Peace used to say something that was called "put legs on your lips." It means you say it and then you do it. What do you need to put on your lips and then put legs on your lips about? What do you need to say? Remember what the Lord has spoken to you, what he has spoken over you, what he has put in your heart. Recognize which of those things that now is the time for. Because I know, just looking out in this room, all of you are in a now moment from the Lord. Maybe for different things. But every single one of us are in a now moment from the Lord. And you need to recognize that this is your now moment, and you need to figure out what the moment is for. The Lord is faithful and just. He will call us to account for the seasons in our life, right? He rewards us, or he judges us based on what we did, which means that he has to make it clear to us because he's a faithful and a just God. So if he's going to call us out on the carpet for what we did or did not do in this life, that means he makes it clear what we're supposed to do. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, you're in a moment from the Lord. You're in a season from the Lord. And he calls you to be a good steward of this season that you're in, which means he will make it clear to you, or has already made clear to you what season you're in. So recognize the moment you are in before the Lord. Go to your community and then go up to fight. And here's the thing, that name, the name of the city was Kirjath Kirjath Arba, right? It was named for the strongest man of the Anakites, Kirjath Arba. But then its name was Hebron. And that name means alliance. You're not called to go into your season alone, right? You're not called to go up and fight alone. That's why I say, go to your community. Declare. Tell people, this is the season the Lord has me in. And then you go and you fight. And just like Ezekiel with the dry bones, you do not stop declaring what the Lord has put in front of you for this season. You do not stop declaring until you get it all. You don't stop. You don't stop. We declare the fullness of the vision. We get 80% of it. We declare that 20% that's missing. We continue on because the Lord is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man that he should lie. And when we stop at that 50%, when we stop at that 80% and we go, oh, I guess this is all the Lord had for me, we are saying that he is a liar. Right? I mean, that's painful for me to think about. That when I say something is good enough, that the provision I got was okay, even though it wasn't all that the Lord promised me, that I am in fact saying that he lied when he promised me. Because you're either a truth teller or you're a liar, right? It's not, it's like if you make brownies, I made brownies, they're for refreshments in the back. I did not do what I'm about to say. But if you made brownies and there was like a little bit of dog poop in there, like it's a gross picture, right? But if there was a little bit in there, I would not care that it was 99% brownie. Yeah. I do not care. 1% dog poop means the whole thing is going in the garbage. It's all gone. Right? Yes. So God is not 99% truth and 1% something that's not truth. If he is true, it's 100%. Yes. It's all. It's the fullness. If he is not a man that he should not lie, if his promises are yes and amen, if they are so be it, if they are it will happen, then they are not, I guess this is good enough. And when we rest on, I guess this is good enough, we are saying that the Lord lied. And he does not lie. And so you hold fast. You speak everything that he gives you. And you contend for the fullness of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray. Yeah, I'm going to pray. God, you are good, you are faithful, you are true, you are the righteous one. We can have full confidence, trust in you. You are the steadfast one. You are our firm foundation. You are our strong high tower that we can run into and be safe. You always are true. You always remain the same. You never lie. You never lose. You never leave us alone. You are always who you say you are. Your words are true. Your promises are yes and amen. And so, Lord, I declare that the words that you have spoken to us, the words that you have spoken over this house, will come to pass. That they are true. That they are right. Yes. That we will receive everything that you have said for us. That we do not have to lower our gaze, lower our vision, or try to edit the vision and the words that you have given us to make them something palatable, to make them something that fits. we can stand on the fullness of your word. We can stand on the fullness of your name and know that you never fail. You never fail. You have never lost. You are the only one who is worthy, the only one who is true, the only one who we can fully depend on. And so, Lord, we throw ourselves at your feet. We throw ourselves upon your altar and we say, Lord, come through. May every word that you have spoken to us come to pass. Lord, we will not shrink back. We thank you for the season that we are in. We thank you that we are in a now moment from you. That we are in a now time from you. And so we declare the words that you have given us for this time and for this season. And Lord, we go up and we fight. We will not shrink back from battle. We will not shrink back from that which is in front of us. But we will press forward, knowing that you have strengthened our arms for war. Yes, it is hard, God. Yes, we feel weak sometimes, Lord. But we thank you that your strength never runs out. We thank you that your strength never runs out. That we can lean into your everlasting arms and know that we can press forward. Pray, Lord, for an infusion of strength for each person in this room right now. An infusion of strength where their heart is weary, where the path seems long and hard in front of us. I pray for an infusion of strength into our hearts, that we would be able to go fully with you, that we would not stop. That as we enter into the land and the territory that you've promised us, that we wouldn't leave enemy strongholds, but that we would fully occupy the full promise that you've given us. Bring your words back to our memory. Bring your words on our mouths and on our lips. Pray that the atmosphere around us would change and that we would walk in strength and in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen.